Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word. Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the ability to receive and to know that which we ought to know. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for insight into your word. We receive every instruction with all sense of reverence, and we run with them to your glory. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Okay, so we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. Spiritual growth and what it looks like. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 132. Hallelujah. And this is a new series. We have just four of them so far. And then in this particular one, I want to show us, like we've seen in previous sessions, the importance of knowledge. We've seen that the most vital thing in our pursuit of spiritual growth is a pursuit of knowledge, the knowledge of Christ. In this particular episode, I want to show you why knowledge is the most important thing, why knowledge is the most essential. I want to show you why knowledge is something we must go for as believers in our quest for spiritual maturity. I'll quote you three scriptures, and then I would proceed from there. These are just reminders. 1 Peter 2, 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You see that it's the word of God that brings growth. Acts 20, 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Have you seen? It's the word that is able to build up in the faith. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings growth in grace. Hallelujah. So you see that knowledge is so vital. So why is knowledge so essential? Why is knowledge the most important thing? This is because spiritual growth is about the renewing of our minds, the development of our minds after the order of the life we have received in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, many times people do not realize that what we are meant to address now that we are saved is not our spirit. Hallelujah. And many times you find people making such confusing statements like, I need to feed my spirit. I need to grow my spirit. My spirit is not growing. And things like that. It's not your spirit that grows. It isn't your spirit that is to mature. Your spirit is complete in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, 9 to 10. In him dwells, that is in Christ Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So your spirit is complete in Christ Jesus. You have the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Are you aware that your spirit is not trying to know, to grow? It's not your spirit that is seeking to achieve or to grow into the stature of Christ. Your spirit is complete. Praise God. You see, when we get to heaven and we see Jesus, we won't need to start learning doctrine to know everything. No. In fact, as touching what we shall be like, at 1 John chapter 3, look at what John says. We'll just know. Hallelujah. Why? Because the spirit of man in Christ Jesus is not trying to catch up with knowledge. It's not the one trying to catch up with the reality of who he has become in Christ Jesus. It is about our minds. It's our minds that are underdeveloped. It's our minds that are unrenewed. It's our minds that are yet to come into a full comprehension of that which belongs to us in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. That is, when we see Jesus, we just be like him. Hallelujah. We will not be trying to learn to attain, you know, into his particular image. We just be in the same image. Because that's who we are. Hallelujah. Now it says, as he is, so are we in this world. So it's not our spirits that are trying to catch up with the revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. All that is left is our minds. Our minds are unrenewed. Our minds are yet to understand the fullness of the blessedness that has come our way in Christ Jesus. So this is why knowledge is important. So it's so important that we focus on knowledge, because all that we are seeking to address now is our mind. Is our minds. Hallelujah. The state of our minds, our thinking, our thoughts, our will, our emotions, everything that flows from the mind must be affected and renewed and changed and transformed by the preaching of the word of God, or by the knowledge and study of God's word. Look at this carefully. Romans, we're going to see some scriptures in quick successions. Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Romans in chapter 12. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Romans chapter 12, I read from verse 1. Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we are transformed how? By the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. This is the place of spiritual growth. The renewing of our minds. If the mind of a man is not renewed, it will not grow. If a mind of a man is not renewed with the truth of God's word, it will never grow. And that's why spiritual growth does not come by just praying for growth. If all you do is just pray, 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 and you are praying and you are praying for growth, and you never expose your mind to the truth of the word of God, you never expose your mind to the realities of that which has happened in Christ Jesus, you never grow. Hallelujah. You never grow. People don't grow by prayer. It's the same way all over, over the years, all over the body of Christ, I've seen this idea or this approach of trying to deliver people from bad habits through prayer. Hallelujah. In very few cases where it was a demonic manifestation, you know, you can just cast out the demon, just speak to the demon to stop oppressing the person's mind. In the case of a believer, where the mind is oppressed by demonic operations, you could just speak and then the demon frees the person from that particular oppression. In very few cases like that, we can use our authority in Christ Jesus to just release the person. I mean, when you know that the person never developed the habit, it just jumped on him one day and he began to misbehave. So we can pray and take authority in Christ to deal with such situations. But for habits that were formed and built over time through daily practice, normal habits, we don't use our authority in Christ just praying and decreeing things. Hallelujah. What we do is to expose our minds to the word of God, to the scriptures. Hallelujah. It is by the word you're able to transform your mind, and your mind births new habits, new conduct, new character, a new desire. Do you understand? New desires are formed, new habits are formed. Everything that flows from the mind is renewed by the power of the word of God. So that's what we're saying here. It is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not rocket science. Hallelujah. It's so simple. It's so straightforward. We only need to expose our mind to the truth of the word of God long enough till we're influenced by the same. Hallelujah. So it's about exposing our minds to the truth of the word of God till it's renewed, and then we are transformed in our living. Glory to God. Let's see Ephesians. Let's start from Ephesians 1. There's something to quickly clarify. There's a scripture that is always misunderstood by many, Ephesians chapter 1, which gives them this idea of, you know, having their spirit changed or their spirit man transformed, or the idea of I'm trying to feed my spirit and things like that. Ephesians chapter 1, you see Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, which by extension, you know, is for every believer. You could pray for yourself also. I'll read from verse 15. That says, therefore also, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Hallelujah. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So when people read the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, just assume, it's about the spirit and things like that. The word spirit here is the Greek word pneuma, which also means mind. It's not just always about the spirit. It also refers to the mind of man. Praise God. And if you look at the context very well, you discover that what Paul is talking about here is the mind. He's addressing the mind. That's why he says, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. It's about knowledge. Praise God. You see, the prayer is about knowledge. So it's about the mind. Because the mind is the place that knowledge addresses. Praise God. Now, look at verse 18 also. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. That's a figurative expression. The eyes of your understanding. It shows you the place where understanding takes place. That eyes there is not physical eyes. It's the place where understanding takes place, which is the mind of man. Hallelujah. So this is about knowledge. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory in the of his inheritance in the saints. You see again, that you may know. Praise God. The knowing takes place in your mind, which is the place referred to as the eyes of your understanding. That is what is enlightened, your mind. Your spirit man has received eternal life. Your spirit man has received the fullness of God. It carries and embodies the fullness of God, but your mind is unaware of it. So your mind is meant to grasp that which your spirit has come into in Christ Jesus. So it's about your mind. Hallelujah. So you see that the focus is on your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know, what are you to know? The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that which your spirit man already possesses in Christ Jesus, your mind must begin to comprehend true knowledge. Hallelujah. And how is this prayer going to be fulfilled? You know, I spoke about prayer. Before you say, you see, he has shot himself in the leg. This is counterproductive. He said we should not pray. He said, isn't this about prayer? I said, see, it is not just about prayer. Hallelujah. This kind of prayer for men to know. Have you seen? It's not prayer. It's not, may you grow. May you just grow. In the name of Jesus, grow today. No, it's prayer for men to know. And now is this prayer fulfilled? Paul was writing to them an epistle. Hallelujah. Paul was writing to them an epistle as a ministry gift. Paul was writing to them to comprehend, to know. As a matter of fact, he had been showing them these things in this epistle from chapter 1. Hallelujah. From the beginning, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Those are revelations in there. Saints, you are saints of God. Hallelujah. You are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows them the disposition that the Father has towards them. It is that of grace and peace. These are outstanding revelations about the new life. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So it shows them that they've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this prayer of Paul at verse 15 to 18 is not a prayer that is fulfilled outside teaching, outside instruction, outside exposing the minds of men to the doctrine of Christ. So Paul is showing them these things from the beginning. Hallelujah. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm only praying that your mind will agree with this fact. Hallelujah. So I'm praying that your mind will agree with this fact as you've come across them, as you've been taught. Glory to God. Because you and I know that not everybody that receives the word or comes in contact with the truth of the word of God receives them. Not everybody that comes in contact with the revelation of Christ pays attention to them. So that is the place of praying this kind of prayer. That as men come in contact with the truth of the word of God, they open their minds to comprehend that which we are saying. So the prayer is not something independent of a thorough and intentional approach to teaching men the realities of who they are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Are you following this? So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amazing revelation and insight. Hallelujah. So you see that which is praying for them to comprehend, that which is praying and hoping that they will see, is what he's writing about already. Praise God. That's what he started his letter with. So there is no comprehending this truth outside the knowledge of the word, outside the teaching of God's word, outside the ministry of the word of God. Even when we pray this prayer for people we cannot reach, the way God is going to answer that prayer is by sending men their way. Men who will show them these realities. Glory to God. So that is how this prayer of Paul is answered. So you see, when we tell people they are chosen in Christ and before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love, they argue. I'm not holy. That is the reason why we pray. So we break those strongholds in the place of prayer as we put out the word of God. We are praying that the eyes of men will see that which we are saying, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they may know the hope of their calling in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. These are realities of redemption. Hallelujah. He has chosen us. He has predestined us to adoption by sons by Jesus Christ himself. He has chosen us to be accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. These are realities of redemption. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are not in need of forgiveness. We have forgiveness. Now, do you realize that this offends people's theology? This offends a lot of people's denominational persuasions and, you know, personal opinions and all that. That's why we have to pray that kind of prayer. That is the necessity of that prayer. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know. Hallelujah. It offends people. People prefer to pray for forgiveness on a daily basis, just like Muslims. Hallelujah. Just like Muslims. They prefer to pray every day for forgiveness, just like Judaism, just like the Old Testament saints. But the revelation of forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus is a once for all time kind of thing. We are forgiven in Christ Jesus once for all time. We have a series on forgiveness of sins. We have over 100 episodes in that teaching. You may like to request for it, lay your hands on it, and have a better grasp of what it means to be forgiven in Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot to learn in there. So this is the reason why we pray that kind of prayer. So that prayer is not fulfilled outside a revelation of what Christ has done, a teaching ministry, a sound teaching or presentation of the word of God. And on, you know, Paul continues to expose to us that which Christ has done. Hallelujah. Christ has done. Look at verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The inheritance, he says, we should know in that prayer is what he has been writing about. Praise God. And then it gets to verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Again, Paul is sharing and showing us a major blessing in the gospel, the seal of the Spirit. Now you notice that it was from here he now began, you know, this prayer. If you notice carefully, he was not even praying for them here. He was showing them what he had been doing before he had access to them. Before he sent them this letter, he had been praying for them. Hallelujah. Therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So this was about what they had been doing before he had the opportunity or the privilege to write them this letter. Praise God. Mind you, there were people who were already responsible for the Christians at Ephesus. There were folks responsible for them. It was some people that took the gospel to them. Hallelujah. It was some people that took the gospel to them, and they were already spending time training them in the truth. Most likely associates of Paul. Praise God. That's why he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So some people were giving him feedback, not of their salvation alone, of their love for the saints. They were already maturing and growing in the faith. Praise God. Because it takes maturity to walk in love towards the saints. So they were feeding Paul back. So what was he doing? He was supporting those ministry gifts that were responsible for the people or for the Christians in Ephesus with prayer. You know, as they are laboring over you, as they are, you know, teaching you the word of God, that your eyes will open to see. Hallelujah. So it's not out of place to pray for men as they are being taught the word of God. It's not out of place. It's biblical. It's a scriptural pattern or approach. The point here is that we don't just pray for people. We also teach. Teaching is the major thing. Let me say this. There are people who have not been prayed for, but they've been taught, and they came into the knowledge of that which Christ has done for them. There are folks that, you know, people have been praying for without teaching them anything, and then that's the reason why they don't know anything till today. Because it's not really about the prayer, it's about the teaching of God. Because what we are trying to affect is the mind. Hallelujah. Is the mind of the individuals, is the mind of the person, is the mind, or let me say, our own minds also. So it's about the knowledge. And I'll say this again, that there are people who have not been prayed for and they came into the knowledge of Christ because they had access to teaching. They were exposed to the right things. For instance, at the beginning of my preaching, you know, engagement many years back, I didn't even know I had to pray for people. All I did was just to teach and to teach and to teach and to teach. And they are still products of, you know, those ministrations from way back. Men I did not pray for. I just kept teaching them the word of God. But of course, I know better to pray for people today. But I'm saying, without praying for them, if we teach the gospel, men will see the truth. Hallelujah. There's the power of the Spirit in the word itself to make men see the truth. Glory to God. However, if we are just praying for people and we never expose them to the word of God, then they'll never see the truth. Glory be to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. So you see, that people comprehend the word, they know these things by feeding their minds with the right things. Not just by us praying, it's by them being exposed to the truth of the word of God. Ephesians 3, I'm going to close here today. Ephesians chapter 3, look at from verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Have you seen? By which when you read, you may understand. By which when you read, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Praise God. So you see that the knowledge or the understanding he was praying that they will come into can only be accessed via the ministry of the word. And that's why he was writing what he was writing. He says, by which when you read, you understand my mystery. Hallelujah. You understand my mystery in the knowledge of Christ as I have briefly written. So he was writing so that they would understand. So there's no understanding outside the ministry of the word. Praise God. Outside the ministry of the word. So men must acquaint themselves with the revelation of the word of God if they are to come into the understanding of that which Christ has done. It's our minds we are trying to address, and there's no affecting our minds. There's no influence on our minds outside exposure to the knowledge of the word of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, friends, and classmates. And let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of faith, full of power, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.